More than a preach today, Jeff and I are going to tag team because it's the first Sunday of the year and we just wanted to share something of our heart with you about what we see and what we feel and where we're going for 2018. 2017, what a year, eh? What a year. It was an awesome year. Look around you. The church was rebranded. The vision was written plainly. It's very clear what Lee Valley Church is about now, loving God, loving others, finding your fit and flourishing in your flow. We had an awesome series about spiritual gifts, which culminated in the opportunity for you to identify your spiritual gifts, and we want to work with people this year to find out how those spiritual gifts will feed into the life of Lee Valley Church, how we can support those spiritual gifts, how we can help you hone those spiritual gifts. So it was very, very exciting. There was a lot of change, and it was good because living things grow and growing things change, right? Come on, Fred. Come on. Oh. No. Has anybody heard that he can't say pop, so he calls Jeff Bob? Bob! It's so cute. He's the only one who would ever get away with it. I'm not telling you that so you can all start. Our senior pastor's name is Bob. Because it isn't. For me, at the end of the year, being able to lead my mother-in-law to Christ was perhaps the highlight of my year. For a number of reasons. Because I saw the miraculous hand of God on that. Because if for anybody who doesn't know, we were not best mates. And the fact that she allowed me, fully aware, to be the one to usher her to the threshold of eternity where Jesus would save her was a miracle. And it reminded me too to never give up. I want to say to you that just the prime thing for me in 2017 was that nobody is beyond the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Think of anybody who's saying no to Jesus in your life and just amp up the prayer. Because nobody is beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank everyone who stood with us in prayer for Nana, because there was a prayer guard going on for her salvation. And I'm sure Emma feels the same for her brother, who came to faith before he died. People were praying and creating an environment in the spiritual realm where ears could be opened. And those of us where it's our loved ones who could have died in a Christless eternity but who were saved, we'll be grateful forever. And so I carry that into 2018. That's one of the things I'm carrying over. There are some things that I'm leaving behind in 2017 because they just don't have the legs to take me into 2018. But certainly a sense of urgency, a sense of obligation, a sense of responsibility to the lost has always been in my heart. It's always been in my heart. I am very boldly evangelistic with people. I'm having those conversations and looking for those opportunities wherever I am. On my spiritual giftings was one of the higher ones for me because I'm really lit on the inside with the reality that people could die and go to a Christless eternity, and I don't want that. I've asked Jesus to give me such a love for the lost that it will stop me from treating them like scalps. Or like looking for opportunities where they might say, awesome, Bo. And just being sensitive to the cry of a human heart. Holy Spirit, what are you saying about this person right now? Not that they will see me, but that they will see Jesus. So I've always had that, but honestly, that's what I'm carrying forward into 2018. In my devotion this morning, I read this quote by a guy, T.C. Upham. And he said this: if we stand at the opening of the present moment with the height and the breadth of our faculties unselfishly adjusted to what it might reveal, we are in the best condition to receive what God is always willing to give us. If we stand at the opening of the present moment, I'm standing at the opening of a present moment, and so are you. With our faculties unselfishly adjusted to what it might reveal. Are you? Am I? Paused, waiting, God, in this moment now, and the next moment to come, and the moment when you walk away from here, and the moment when you face difficulty, are the height and the breadth of your faculties and my faculties unselfishly adjusted? Am I not looking in the opening of that present moment to see how bow can be served? But Lord, what might you reveal? Then I am, and you are, in the best condition to receive what God is always willing to give. God is always willing to give. God is always conversing. He is always having something to say. He is always about taking us from one degree of glory to the next. He is always about the kingdom. He is always about doing stuff for which we have been purposed. He is always about working to perform the promise of his word that he has spoken to us. This is on my mind for 2018. I want to stand fully present, my faculties unselfishly adjusted in each moment and say, God, what might be here? What are you going to reveal? Good or bad? I'm no saint. God reveals a lot to me about, you know, that this won't do. This will not take you where I need you to go. This needs to go out of your life. And for the most part, I've become quicker to let him cauterize those things that don't honor him, that won't honor me, that won't build the kingdom. That's what's in my heart for 2018. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to, for the first 6 months, we're looking at relationships. God's relationship to us, God's relationship to key people in the Bible. We're going to have a bit of a chronological way through that. We're going to look at God's relationship with nations, God's relationship with the fallen, God's relationship with the church, with the righteous. We're going to have a look at the way God has a relationship with us, because of all the relationships that you could have, the most important is to have with God, right? Now, Jeff and I, in our relationship, we find that if we stop spending time together, something shifts in the dynamic of our relationship. I'm going to guess that most married couples are like that. You have to invest time in your relationship. I began to think about this fact that God is always ready to give us something and to communicate with us. And I was reading in The Voice, which I love, and it's a conceptual Bible, okay? The Voice is a conceptual Bible. So it's taking concepts and it's portraying what the word says in a different way. And I like to read a number of different Bibles because it helps my brain think. You can just actually, well, I find I could just get in a groove and not really go anywhere if I just read the same old stuff. I can't do that. And I cannot touch the NIV. It just goes against my grain. The thing has got no poetry in it, as far as I'm concerned. So that's the one Bible I never read. But I was reading, it's the only Bible Jeff reads. And Haley. Oof. Terrible, it's a conspiracy. Listen to this, John 1:1. In John, I want to read, this is probably something you're very familiar with. In the Authorized Version, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? Listen to what it says in this conceptual Bible, The Voice. Before time itself was measured, the voice was speaking. The voice was and is God. The celestial word remained ever present with the Creator. His speech shaped the entire cosmos. Immersed in the practice of creating, all things that exist were birthed in him. His breath filled all things with a living, breathing light, a light that thrives in the depths of darkness, blazes through murky bottoms. It cannot and will not be quenched. Rich, right? That voice that is speaking, that voice that is the word of God spoken, revealed, prophetically uttered through someone else that pierces our heart, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, he is speaking and drawing us into relationship. You know, I began to think about the essential ingredients of relationship. What do you think are the essential ingredients of relationship? We'll play a reverse game. We'll see if you got my ones. I put down about 8 things that I think are essential to relationship. Call out some and I'll see if we got it. Communication was the top of my list. Yep.
Trust.
Time, yeah, trust. Emma, you get a chocolate because I didn't have time on my list. So this is the reverse. If you get one that I haven't got on my list that I think belongs there. Yeah, so Jeff, could you get the chocolate tin, please? I want you to pass out to the people who don't get what's on my list. Okay, what else did we say? Respect, yes. Got it, sorry, yeah. No chocolate, yeah, got that. Yeah, you're going to have to think a lot harder if you want a chocolate, people. Patience. Forgiveness, yep. Loyal, sorry? Love's there. Give the girl a chocolate. Availability. See, she's thinking outside the box. Availability. Oh, you know, all the men are cringing in here right now. I didn't come to church to have you meddle with my marriage. Sorry. Sacrifice. Well, yes, actually, Cheryl, you deserve one because I didn't put sacrifice. Oh, the chocolate lover finds a way to get a chocolate, eh? Sorry, we've got loyalty. Yes, I'm going to put that in love because love is not selfish. It is not boastful. It is not envious. It does not seek its own way, and it keeps no record of wrongs. So anything that's like anything like 1 Corinthians 13, you do not get a chocolate. That is called love.
Hey. Hey, you know what, honey? Hey, woo. There are people stealing. There are people stealing who have not even offered anything.
The kingdom of God suffers violence.
Passion, didn't I?
Passion. Compassion. Sorry, Freudian slip. Compassion.
What's wrong with passion in relationship then? Go on to...
Okay, give me a chocolate. I said passion and it's not even on my list. Yeah, what? Fun, yes, fun. Come on. What sort of relationships are you all having out there? Fun. Boundaries. Acceptance. Love. It's all part of love. Praise, sharing, giving. Yeah, got it all.
Who else? Who
praise. Who tempting. Oh, protecting. Yes, protecting. Well, I'm going to think that is all part of what you've been doing.
Does anybody else get one or not?
Go on. Everybody who's going to have a bad attitude with me. If you're not going to listen to me because you're thinking you need a chocolate, please put your hand up because I want you to listen. Jeff, please give everyone who's got their hand up a chocolate because I want them to listen to me.
Hey, not two. You can't have two.
Man, it's coming to something when I have to bribe the congregation with sweets to pay attention.
Girlies.
Yeah, if you're just visiting, some Sundays we're worse than this, so just be warned.
I know Reuben will want one.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, we have respect. And you know what? God has every one of those aspects that you talked about, everyone that you called out, God is that to us in our relationship with Him. And this is what my sense is. I believe that for 2018, God is wanting to show us more and tell us more and give us more and ask more of us.
You can have one. Kids can have one.
Because to him whom much is given, much is expected. But I believe that there is this great big vat of poured out blessing that's to come upon the people of this nation, anyway, the saints of this nation, and we're definitely part of the church. That God wants to supply more of who He is, more of His loving, honor, respect, giving, forgiveness, joy, trust, intimacy, more of His voice speaking into the openings of our present moment, that He could show us something and give us something and use us in that moment. Who wants that for 2018? Yeah, I do. I want it. That's what I see. I see that hunger. I can feel that hunger rising in me for that. 2017 is gone. For all the good that was in it, the year is gone. I don't want any part of it back. I'm going to take the lessons that I've learned from 2017 and build them into 2018. But really, thank goodness the year is over because I'm excited for this next cycle of what God is going to do in me, in my relationship. You know that voice that's always speaking? I just want to provoke you a little bit. You know, there's a difference between Who can hear the difference between obey my word and listen to my voice? Who would rather obey the word or listen to his voice? Okay, who's for obey? I'd rather obey the word than listen to the voice. Who says that? Who would rather listen to the voice and then do what it says? Exactly. There's a subtle difference, isn't it? You know why? Because legalists get hold of the word and do that. And what does it do? It cuts and it slices and it bruises. But I think there's something about a church that if we get our ear attuned to that speaking voice in that moment and we're listening to that, because remember that the Hebrew concept of listen is to actually hear in order that you may do. So you don't just want to hear so that you can say, I heard that. In the concept, the Christian concept of what I'm talking about, I'm talking about taking that Hebrew sense of it. Look, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. I'm listening to hear it. I'm listening to obey. There's a difference. God doesn't just say to us, do as I say. He says, do as I do. And in our relationship with God and his relationship with us, do you know what? It's not in the much speaking. What did Jesus say? He said, by the fruit you'll know them. Let's have a little look at what Christians are doing. Then I'll tell you how much of Christ is in that Christian. Is there a difference between come to me and do not fear? Is there a difference between come to me, God speaking, and God speaking saying, do not fear? You think there is? Okay. Is it possible that when you come to God and God is your focus and you're looking at God, is it possible that you can hold on to fear?
Okay.
No, because in his presence there is no fear. Do not fool yourself to think that you can come into the presence of God and fear is active in your life. You're not there. Is it easier for me to say to you, hey, 2018, concentrate on coming to God than not having fear in your life? I'm trying to say this. If you do the first, the latter won't be the problem. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, if you pray twice, the second time is in unbelief. And if you pray, why worry? Now, can I have a codicil to that? It is not for us to measure another person's faith. I can't look in your heart and tell you the measure of a faith. I can't look at a circumstance and say, well, yeah, I've had people do it. Well, it must be down to you, Bo. You let the devil in. You didn't protect your family, so you went on the mission field, and the devil killed your mother and your sister. Unhelpful. Someone gets prayed for, and they don't get their healing straight away. Well, you haven't got enough faith. Unhelpful. So, Smith, when I quote Smith Wigglesworth, that's not so that we all go around starting to be the faith police. Well, your faith is bigger than that. It's not as big as someone else's. You've got to get more faith. Faith is a gift. If we didn't learn anything about the spiritual gifts, faith is a gift. The faith to see somebody move from where they are into a higher place in God. First of all, God does that. You don't. I don't. And it takes faith that Holy Spirit gives us to be involved in any part of that. So I'm just a pipe. Don't worship the pipe. So faith comes from God. It's built up by hearing the voice continually speaking to our hearts, not just the word going into our head. But if I say to you, 2018, and this is what I'm going to end on, for my relationship with God, I hear the voice of God saying to me, come to me, look up to me, press into me, Bo. I don't hear the Holy Spirit saying to me, don't want you to fear so much this year. Not that fear is a major issue for me, but I'm just choosing fear. And I want to say that over us as a church. Hey, listen, if we choose to do the former, come to him, You in sin? Then come to him quickly. Repent at the cross. Ask him to break an addiction. Ask him to watch over our mouth. Like we've got 10 prayers that will draw me closer to God, one per family over here. If we were to pray those prayers every day, there'd be massive change in our own hearts and in our own life. And one of them is about keeping a guard on our mouth. Oh Lord, don't let me say anything. Don't let me be involved in any conversation that's not going to bring honour to your name or push the kingdom forward. You know what? If we started living like that, we'd get closer to God very, very quickly. So the relationship that I have with God is this. I love to fall into his arms. I love to snug up on his lap. And when I'm in that place, I never have to worry about being afraid. Because somehow in his presence there's such fullness of joy. In his presence I hear the voice saying to me, I've got this. Do you think we didn't have scary moments last year? We did. But we snugged up on his lap and we heard the voice speak to us and say, don't worry about that. That's for me to take care of. It's for you to trust. Because I have a relationship with you, Bo, that promises to protect you, that promises to care for you, that promises to honour you, that promises to satisfy you. I want more of that for 2018. Hand over to Jeff.
Thanks, honey. Are we on there, Phil? You know, see, the kingdom of God, as Bo has talked about and alluded to, it pivots around. It is totally built on this whole idea of relationship Godwards, relationship that's vertical, and then a relationship that is horizontal with one another, with people. So as we go through these first 6 months and look at the lives of Old Testament characters, for starters, literally starting from Abraham, going right through starting at Adam, it's an obvious place to start, I guess, beginning, first person, right through to Elisha as the last one, I think we've got down as a prophet, and looking at their lives and how they connected with God, how they connected with other people, how their connections, what we can learn from, and what we can model in our own lives of our relationship with God and relationship with others. See, this whole message of Christianity, as opposed to a religion, and you hold on to that thought because there is a big difference between true Christianity and religion. You know, this whole idea of relationship is based upon our response to what God has done for us. See, the currency of the kingdom of God is relationship. That is the currency that the kingdom of God operates on. It's a currency of any relationship, and we've talked about it, is conversation. Conversation has to be the essential one. That's why we need to really pick up in the whole realm of prayer in our individual lives and in our life together as a group of people. See, and I touched on the comment of Christianity being based upon relationship, whereas opposed to a religion. Religion is not based on relationship. Here is an answer to the whole question of, is Christianity a religion or a relationship? How's this for a go? Religion is the belief and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially personal God or gods. In that respect, Christianity is a religion, can be classified as a religion. But however, practically speaking, Christianity is a key difference that separates it from all other belief systems that are considered religions, and that is the whole idea of relationship. Christianity is the only belief structure that really centers around the whole thing of relationship. There's lots of religions, lots of beliefs, but we center upon a thing of relationship. Our relationship with God and then our relationship with others. So the whole difference is relationship. So this year, we're going to go from Adam and look through a whole lot of different things and talk about, you know, the love of God, how God loves us so much, a whole different, whole lots of various things. How they related. We're going to revisit the Blessed Life series again. We're going to revisit Robert Morris's Blessed Life series again. Once a month, we're going to watch his series again. And I want to pause right there and say this. This is not to get your money. By the way, it's not to get your money by any stretch of the imagination. This is for us to understand the principles of God and the whole thing of living a life that is truly a blessing, truly what God has for us. It's not about, we need more of your money. Actually, you know what? The kingdom of God needs our finances. That is true, but it's more than that. It's about living a life that actually is actually getting into those things that God makes available to us all. And you know, there's some wonderful stories around about that, and we'll hear from them, one or two of them really soon. Another thing that we're going to do this year and start beginning of February, we're going to start it maybe once a month or once every 2 months, certainly once a month anyway. And on a Wednesday night, I've been talking with Simon Pinchbeck. Some of you have met Big Simon. Him and I are going to start on a Wednesday night, once a month, a thing called Warrior Church, just for men. Yeah, ladies, you can forget about trying to come in costumes. We can tell if you're a man or not. This is a reality. If men do not grasp hold of what we are supposed to grasp hold of as Christian men, our families suffer. The community suffer, our nations suffer, and the kingdom of God suffers. It is vital that we as men, and this is not just an LVC thing, Simon's got a gazillion contacts, and we're going to do something that's going to stir us up as men to become the men we need to be for our families, our nation, our communities, the kingdom of God, etc., etc. So that's an exciting thing that we are looking at. Monday night, and you alluded to it earlier. Monday nights we're going to have a change of, I've been mulling it over the Christmas break and stuff. A little bit of a change from Monday nights. Bit of worship, and then some teaching, and then some doing. I want to teach on prayer. I want to teach on how we can pray and be more effective in our praying. I want to teach on some of the things that we have regarded as some of the sacred cows of prayer and of faith that actually are a little bit extra biblical, not really perhaps things that we shouldn't be doing, and also touch on things that we're not doing that we should be doing and make it very practical. So a little bit of worship, bit of teaching, and then praying, the doing, the worship, the teach, the do. So that's going to bring a freshness to Monday night. So please, I encourage you to come along on a Monday night for that. Also in October, there'll be a trip to Israel again, so information will be coming out hopefully soonish. We need to have get people an idea of what sort of money they're going to need, and we shouldn't give you a 2 months' notice that it's going to cost you £1,000 or anything, but a number of months. So we can start the ball rolling in that realm. So if you're interested in that, Tim will be coming along again, and so it'll be just a great trip. For those of you who have been, it is something special. For those you haven't been, I really would encourage you to try and make an effort to get along. And another thing we really want to start seeing more of and allow to happen more on a Sunday is, we used to call them testimonies, but life stories. What's happening in people's lives? The good things that are happening in people's lives. And there are some very interesting stories that have occurred last year. And Karen's going to tell us one, and perhaps we've got another one as well, have we? Yeah, cool.
Oh, wow, it looks a bit scary up here.
Well, that's scary.
My story not my story necessarily, but Beth's story goes back from when she was born. And when she was born a very sick little girl. And she was in Great Ormond Street, and she had to have a bone marrow transplant. And for the transplant to work, she had to have really intense chemotherapy. And from 3 weeks old, they said that it would affect her ovaries and affect her eggs, and she would never be able to have children. So from 3 weeks old, that has been over her head. The transplant, she was a star. According to Great Ormond Street, she was a star. She went through each phase as they expected and done what they expected. But on the fertility side of it, everything was always negative. And they even said that her body wouldn't produce the right hormones, that she would even need to take hormones for her to be able to develop like a normal girl. So we've had this going back, she's 25 now, we've had this going back for 25 years. Jumping the story, because I could go on forever, when she was 14, they done a scan of her ovaries and her womb. And it showed that her ovaries were really badly deformed. And they, again, confirmation, she would never be able to have children, she would never be able to have children. 2 years on, she had the same scan. We was at King Harold at that time, and there was an egg in her ovaries. And I believe God showed me that egg to give me faith of what the future is going to be. The doctors boo-hooed it. No, it's just a fluke. It's not going to happen. Her ovaries are too badly damaged to be able to produce eggs.
Malformed,
thank you.
Yeah.
So, again, she was on this hormone. Again, when she was 14, they said, well, OK, we're going to stop the hormones now and see what her body does naturally. And she did have periods. They were erratic, but they happened. So the hormones were sort of phased out. They were phased out. So anyway, so this was going, but no, she can't have children. And then jumping again to 3 years ago, she did get pregnant. So all that time, I had a faith. God showed us that egg for a reason. And I had faith that I don't know what path that he was going to take us down, but if she wanted to have children, I knew it was going to happen in some way, whether it was naturally or another way. But I always had that belief. Anyway, about 3 or 4 years ago, she got pregnant. The pregnancy didn't... she miscarried, as you, I think you all remember that. And then in 2000 and the end of 2016, she got pregnant again. And Jackson was born on the 23rd of November, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And
amazing.
It was, yeah, it was absolutely a miracle. Absolutely a miracle. But just to reinforce that, I believe this was truly God. When she was about 19, 20, they asked her to go into a study, and this study was abroad. All she had to do was take blood, and they were sending all this, and it was a study on the people that have had really intensive chemotherapy and fertility. Now, I don't really know what the outcome of that study was, but 2 months after Jackson was born, she got a thing. And right on the top, it said, spontaneous pregnancy, unlikely. Spontaneous pregnancy may be possible with IVF. That was medical. God had other ideas.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it? Brilliant. Well done. It's cool. Very cool, isn't it? Very, very cool. That is amazing. And then, you know, that does go back a long, long way, doesn't it? I remember the heartache of all that when she was little and stuff. Yeah. You want this back again? Hey, I told you
because
a couple of
she
minutes,
was the
not the whole morning.
Because she was under UCL for endocrinology, and then 2 weeks ago she got a letter from them saying she's totally discharged. They don't want to see her.
Brilliant.
So she's been hospital. Hospital has been around Best Life since she was born. This year, 2018, no hospital.
Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Wonderful. That is so wonderful. Bo mentions, said hello to Norman, who many of you know, but there's a couple here that have very few of you will know, Drew and Michelle, going back a long way in the histories of our LVC, and they were with us for a long time, went back to South Africa, and now I don't know how long they've been back in the country, but they're with us today. But I believe, Michelle, you got something to share with us about if you're... Yeah? Cool. So this is Michelle, guys. Give her a hand. Please share.
Hi, everyone. It's really, truly wonderful to be with all of you today. It was actually one of my prayers more than a year ago that we will come back to England. And that actually happened as well. Yeah, many moons ago.
Because England played better rugby than South Africa, that's for sure.
Look, I know.
That was for Drew's sake, yeah.
So, yeah, many moons ago, that was a long time ago. Eh? I think it's been 15 years ago. Was it 15 years ago? Yeah. That we attended Lee Valley Church, and we were married quite light, actually. And we decided to start with a family immediately because I was almost 30. So we tried the first one. We had a missed abortion. Second one, he had a missed abortion. Yeah, it was actually missed abortions.
Oh, okay.
You have to go in and they have to.
Yeah.
So the first two was missed abortions, and then the other three were miscarriages. And also I was told, and this happened over 5 years, we were told, no, it's not looking good. You keep on recurrent miscarriage. I mean, they gave me a name on my on my forms, that it's bad luck and it's not going to happen for us. And I said to the Lord, but Lord, you are stronger than the devil. Yes. If you are,
Karen, take your time.
You know my journey. It's not been an easy one. But I'll say to God one day, you are stronger. How can you let the devil steal from us? The Lord said, no, this is not over. This is only the beginning. So I said to the doctor that day, she was one of the best in the country, this is not bad luck. This is not bad luck. And this is not the end. This is the beginning. We will have children. So my mother-in-law, who's also a believer, phoned me and said, the Lord gave her a name of a hospital. I must go there. So I got on a plane and went to South Africa, and I went to this doctor, and he looked at me, and I had a file this thick, okay, of all my issues. And he looked at me, and he said, I heard you got a dog. I said, now, why do this doctor want to talk about my dog? He says, yes, I also have a Labrador. And he says, and your operation will be in a week's time. And the second operation will be in 3 weeks after that. Now, I don't know what's wrong with me, but he already knows what's wrong with me. So after all, the Lord did send us to this man. And he knew exactly what was wrong with me. And it took two operations. Okay, and after the two operations, it was inside my womb, they had to remove something. And after those two operations, it took us 1 month to fall pregnant with the blondie that you see, Siana. Okay, her name is God's gracious gift. And yeah, it's just, isn't it amazing?
Cool.
After all these years,
cool.
We can come back and say that the Lord is faithful. He is a faithful God. He is. And now we've got two. So the Lord truly has. And I want to say the word from this church was to us, after people fasted and prayed through this, the word was delay, not denial. And isn't it amazing?
Delay,
it was really a 5 year of delay, mm-hmm. But it was never denial.
I like it.
So praise the Lord.
That's cool. Very
Thank
cool.
you for all your support as well.
Very cool, eh?
And
that's
love.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So, two stories of fruitfulness. Anybody expecting fruitfulness?
Yeah.
I don't mean, necessarily being pregnant. I mean, for some of us, those days are gone, and we thank God for that. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, absolutely. You have grandchildren now. I don't need little children of mine. Okay. Fruitfulness. You know what? If we truly chase after God properly, as we're supposed to, fruitfulness will be the result of that. The fruitfulness I hope for and believe, trust for, trust in God for, is that actually those things that have been prophesied over Lee Valley Church, those things that have been promised over Lee Valley Church, we will see more and more of it. That actually we will not just be here on a Sunday morning and just down the bottom here, that actually very soon we'll be, but people will have to go upstairs. Soon after that, we'll be having to do it two times a day because he's just not around. You know, those are the sort of things, if we truly believe that God is going to bring some sort of semblance of revival or some semblance of growth, those are the things we need to be expecting in the whole areas of fruitfulness. So let's be fruitful people, yeah? Yes. Amen, okay.